The prophets of the Old Testament are mysterious figures, necessarily so, because they're spokesmen for God. So they're inserting into the worldly situation, the earthly situation, the voice of God, the Word of God. It's good to reflect on the prophets because we are also prophets. We're also mysterious men and women, and we're also representatives or spokespeople for God in the world. Not that we have to claim to have been inspired, but we are, by our baptism, participants in the spreading of the word, or the shining of the light, if you want to use the image from the gospel. But let's stick for now with the prophets. Even though all the prophets are rather mysterious, Elijah is probably the most mysterious one. His story is different than the others. We don't have a book of Elijah. We don't have an account of how he was called. He kind of just appears. He appears suddenly when it's necessary that King Ahab be addressed, and the will of God that there be a drought has to be proclaimed, and that's Elijah. So he just appears, even what it said in yesterday's reading, that he is a Tishbite from Tishbe. Well, that doesn't tell us very much. Where is Tishbe and what's a Tishbite? It's a little bit mysterious, even to the scholars. And the account of Elijah is rather short. Yes, he has a mission, and he has a word for the king, and he is going to have this great contest with the prophets of Baal. I think that's tomorrow's reading. But then a lot of the story of Elijah is about his own personal experience. I found it striking that Elijah showed up yesterday in the first reading, and the new apostolic administrator of this diocese is Elias. You know that we have the situation here in the Diocese of Parañaque, it's sede vacante, and there's no bishop because Bishop Mercado, his retirement was accepted on Saturday, on his 75th birthday. Well, at the time that the papal nuncio announced the acceptance, Pope Leo's acceptance of Bishop Mercado's retirement, he also announced that there would be an apostolic administrator of the diocese, and he said his name is Elias Ayuban. I never heard of him. I was sitting with a bunch of priests. A lot of people never heard of him. He's a bishop of Cubao, but relatively new bishop. I think he was just ordained last year. Well, because I know in my Tagalog Bible, Elias is the word for Elijah. And so yesterday I said, when I inserted his name, the bishop's name in the prayer, I called him Elias. Well, I learned last night, he doesn't pronounce it Elias. He pronounces it Elias, because he's not Tagalog. He's Visayan, and apparently the Visayan pronunciation is Elias. So, but it's still Elijah. This is perhaps not so important for everyone to know, but in the condition of sede vacante, no bishop, then the question is, well, whose name do you put in the Eucharistic prayer? Because the Eucharistic prayer is always includes an affirmation of our union with the Pope and with the local bishop. So if there's no local bishop, then what happens? And we were told on Saturday night, just don't say anything, just say the name of the Pope. And then we were told on Sunday, oh no, actually, because the administrator is a bishop, then you should mention his name. So now we'll be mentioning Elias during this transition period until a new bishop is named, Elias Ayuban. If the administrator was a priest, wouldn't be mentioned. So a bishop is a successor of the apostle, so he's included in the Eucharistic prayer. Well, okay, Elijah. Let's go back to Elijah, the original one, not the Elias who's serving us here. Elijah, yesterday he was being cared for by the ravens. Today he's told, okay, now that the water's dried up, you'll be cared for by a poor widow. Both of these are signs that Elijah has to rely on God, because he's not being sent to a wealthy benefactor who has plenty of money. he's being told, rely on the ravens who will bring you food every day, or rely on the poorest of the poor who doesn't even have enough for her own survival. So it's not as if Elijah would have much hope of getting anything out of the poor widow, but he's trusting in God and he invites the widow to do the same. One thing about the drought, because Elijah was told, well, and Elijah gave the message, this drought is a punishment from God because of the wickedness of the king and the queen, their idolatry, their violation of the covenant, grave violation of the covenant. So there's a drought. But as is so often the case, the punishment is not limited to the evil. The drought affects everybody, including the prophet himself. This is how, in the mystery of God's providence, this is how it works. So when there's a drought, everybody's affected, good and evil. It's just like Jesus said, not in today's gospel, but in the Sermon on the Mount, that my sun shines on the good and the bad. That when the rain falls, it falls on the good and the evil. That's how God's love works. Perhaps what's most dominant in our minds today is the big earthquake that struck the Philippines yesterday, about this time last yesterday, 24 hours ago. I'm sure everyone knows about the earthquake. And one thing about an earthquake is it affects everybody in that region, and it comes without warning. I'm sure you saw the social media posts about the buildings that fell down and the frightening moment of the very strong earthquake. But it was a beautiful morning. It was a sunny day, and people just going about their business, the children would gather for their first day of school, and all of a sudden, the earth shakes, violently shakes. Can you say, oh, that's the punishment of God? Maybe, but everybody's affected, including the innocent children. So we're praying for the victims. I read this one, 31 confirmed dead already, and probably more when they find out what's going on. There was a landslide as well. Well, the point being, just like the drought in the case of Elijah, the earthquake down in General Santos City or that southern Philippines, these things affect everybody, and we don't use them as occasions to judge anyone in particular. But we do express our solidarity with the victims, of course. Just like Elijah is a victim of the drought, just like the evil king and queen. In fact, the king and queen probably don't suffer from the drought nearly as much as Elijah himself does, because the rich, they have access to means. It's the poor who suffer the most. Well, that takes us to this poor widow. She is preparing her last meal. She's at the threshold of starvation, she and her son. And so when Elijah comes along and says, give me something to drink here, and give me a little cake, meaning a little bit of bread, she says, well, I don't have anything to offer you. That's when Elijah says, the Lord, he speaks in the name of the Lord will provide. When he makes the request of the widow, he's not doing it to deprive her of what little she has. He's doing it to invite her to be like him, dependent on God. And to her credit, she does it. She provides. She becomes an instrument of God, just like Elijah himself was an instrument of God. And according to the tradition, she's not even a Jew. I don't know where Zarephath of Sidon is, but I think it's outside the Jewish territory. She's a pagan woman, but she trusts in the Lord because she trusted in the word of Elijah. And the Lord provided for her for a year, for her, for her son, and for Elijah the prophet. So this is another lesson, the lesson we learned from the widow last Saturday. The best way, and the most secure way to live is trust in God. The most secure way to live is not to have the most money or have the biggest bank account or have a big barn full of provisions for ourselves in case there's an earthquake or in case there's economic collapse. No, the best security we have is the Lord. He can provide for us even if there's only a little bit left in the jar. He can multiply it. That's the lesson here. And when we trust in the Lord, not only does the Lord take care of us, but we become signs of God's goodness to others. That's part of what is revealed in today's gospel when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Now, we know that Jesus himself is the light of the world. And our job is to point to the light of the world. And there's no sense standing around and saying, "I'm light, I'm light, I'm light" at them. That would just make people laugh. We're obviously not very much light. But when we are dependent on God, when we are willing to be agents of God, yes, we become light for others. And this is part of our mission. Jesus says it. "Your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." To be a light means not to be focusing on ourselves or shining our gifts upon ourselves, but to illuminate the way for others, to point the way to Jesus Christ, to let our good deeds, which we do for the glory of God, actually give glory to God and not use them or try to bend the glory back to ourselves. So this is the Christian way. The world's way, of course, is to do everything for self, and even good deeds. We see this always in the world of politics. Even when people do something good, they do it in order to get affirmation, to get the credit. That's a side effect. If somebody sees what we're doing, then the glory goes to God. That's what Jesus says. Let people see your good deeds, not for your sake, but for the glory of the Father. That's what Elijah does. Actually, the widow is the better example, because Elijah, we don't see him doing anything good. He's just a dependent. He's like a beggar. But the widow is actually doing something for him, sacrificing or risking herself for his sake, and in that way, becoming an agent of the Lord in the world. Well, that's what we are to be. Light in the world, not because we're so brilliant ourselves or we're shining so much, but because of the light we have received. That's the work of a prophet. The prophet doesn't speak his own words. He speaks what he receives. And a Christian is not standing as an independent agent. A Christian is an agent of the Lord. Priest, prophet, and king, salt, light, sent by God so that the works of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God can be made known in the world.